excuse me, could we all be seated, please? There's plenty of seats over here, please, if you will. I want to welcome each of you today to our 12th Street Police Station. Isn't this a fabulous building? Every time I'm in here, I'm just awed at how beautiful it is and what it means to this community. We are here today to listen to our mayor with his State of the City address. And as we listen to it, I want each of you to know that you have played a part in this. It's because of you, the citizens, that we have this building, that we have all the great things that we have done this year. And also, as the mayor gives his vision for the city, I would ask you to ask yourself, what can I do to help with this vision? Because it is going to take each one of us working together to have a part in it. And so please, as you listen to the mayor, think, gee, I am excited about that. I want to do that. We have lots of people here with us today. First, I want to introduce the board of directors. Starting down here, and if you will, please stand. Jean Fortson, director at large. Kathy Webb. Please keep standing. Kathy Webb, director for Ward 3. Doris Wright, director for Ward 6. Ken Richardson, director for Ward 2. Brad Kazort, director of Ward 4. Thank you all very much. Let's give them a hand. Also, I would like to introduce our city manager, Bruce. Would you please stand? Let's give him a hand. We have very many other important people here today, but one group I also want to stand, and that is all of our department heads. Please stand. And as we're in this building and we know what this means to everyone, I would like for all of the police department to please stand and let us recognize them. As we begin our program today, we are going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, which is going to be headed by Tracy Rourke, who is the City Employee of the Year. Tracy is the director of the Little Rock Animal Village, and I think all of you know how very important that is to our city. All over the United States and in Arkansas, people recognize our animal village. Last year, we found homes for 2,500 animals. I just had to put that plug in. And this year, we're hoping to find homes for others. And joining him would be Legina Bearden. Legina, would you come forward? Legina is with the Housing and Neighborhood Programs Department. She's going to lead us in the National Anthem, and Tracy is going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Would you please stand and then remain standing?
Please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home
Thank you, Tracy and Regina. Please have a seat. We're here today to listen to a vision, to listen to a dream, and to look at where we have come from and where we are going. This city just is bursting all over with wonderful things. And I just invite you, one day this week, I just drove down Main Street and just looked at it. Now, I am old enough and have lived in Little Rock long enough that I can remember going to Sears and looking in the window at Christmas time and all the retail stores. And then I also remember the sad days when we went down there and there really wasn't much. And you went down Markham Street and you saw warehouses and empty buildings. And then you look at today. And you know, all this is not only because of our taxpayers, our citizens, but it's because leadership. It takes leadership for the things that we have going on in our city. We look at the AMP, and they've got a vision. We look at other departments. We look at Brian Day out at the port and the visions that they have out there. We're all about visions and dreams in Little Rock. But there has to be a leader. There has to be that person out front with the visions and the dreams. Sometimes we wonder what's going on, what's he thinking about, and everything. But then we turn around a year or two later and we think, gee, we was part of that. It's funny how sometimes when we're questioning, what's going on, but then when it all happens and we look at it, we know that we're part of it. And I think that's why a city is so important. It's because each of us can have a part in this. Each of us is part of what goes on in this city. Each of us are the heart of this city. But today we're here for the leader of our city, to tell us what he sees in his vision and also to tell us where we've gone for the last year. So please make welcome at this time Mayor Mark Stola, the 72nd mayor of the city of Little Rock. Is that all enough?
Thank you. Well, thank you, Joan, very much for those very, very kind words. Leadership is really defined not by just one individual, but by all of the people in this room. Our city board of directors are leaders, and in their own right, they are working on very, very important issues. And you, as members of the community, engaged in helping us to find our way is so very, very important. And so I want to thank you for being here today, as I have an opportunity to present to you the state of the city, and to my fellow colleagues on the board of directors and our city manager, Bruce Moore, and our city attorney, Tom Carpenter, and the many employees and citizens that are here today, I want to thank you for being here. I want to recognize some of my family members that are here. My wife, Joellen, is here. Thank you, Joellen, for being here. And one of my sons, Robert, who's on the mock trial team, by the way, and he's learned how to argue. I guess maybe he's gotten too much of that from me. And my son-in-law, Craig Wilson, also. Craig, thank you for being here. You know, I'd like to spend a few minutes today, and of course, some of my colleagues think I spend too many minutes reflecting on the accomplishments of our city this past year. And I want to also talk about our vision and goals and some of the challenges that we have for the upcoming year. You know, there are so many things that happen, and I know inevitably I'm going to leave something out. I'm going to leave somebody out. When I begin to write this, I always say, all right, it's going to have to be shorter than the year before and shorter than the year before. So I don't know where it is this time. I'm hoping it's shorter than last year's because I was reminded by my colleagues that it was probably way too long. So it may have to deal with the size of the font. Its number of pages are smaller than it was last year, but the font may be smaller as well. So in any event, let me just talk about a few of the things that are going on that I think are exciting and the direction that the board of directors, myself, and our staff and our city manager and all of the staff have been trying to lead the way in terms of what the city means to our people. I know, as Director Adcock mentioned, that for many of you this is the first time to be in this beautiful building that we call the 12th Street Station. It is really something to be proud of. It's a beautiful building, and I want to thank you, our citizens, for providing the funding for it so that we could build it. And besides it being a brand-new, beautiful building, it also represents making good on a commitment. a commitment to public safety, a commitment to place, a commitment to our Midtown neighborhoods south of Interstate 630. As you know, 630 has long been considered a cause of arbitrary division in our city. But most importantly, the building is a commitment to our people, and it's to all of our people. You see, the 12th Street Station is not just for the police department. In particular, it's for a community renaissance. It's a catalyst for, we want it to be a catalyst for new development, an opportunity to locate businesses within its walls, and importantly, a place for neighbors to engage each other. It is also a signature contribution to our jumpstart redevelopment plans here for 12th Street as we move up and down along the corridor. Of course, there are other major projects underway. I want to let you know that with advocacy and consistency and insistency of City Director Doris Wright, our West Central Community Center is underway. It's very important to not just to her, but to the entire city, and most importantly to the 500 or so teams of young people that are going to be playing and using that community center. And I want to thank Director Wright for all of her leadership in us getting this out of the ground. We're going to be complete, I've been promised, by the end of the year. Is that right? All right, Bruce, that's the message. It's supposed to be complete by the end of this year. And Also, we continue with other capital projects. The West Little Rock Police Station in the old Pankey building out on Highway 10 is also underway. It's to be completed this year, and it will also embrace the adjoining neighborhoods with joint community space for citizen gatherings. As you know, we've embarked on a tremendous capital improvement project for streets and drainage. And this past year, our Public Works Department. We'll be completing the first three-year phase of street resurfacing and drainage reconstruction. Our staff coordinated last year 51.3 miles of city streets in 2014 that were resurfaced. Over 6,600 linear feet of sidewalks were completed by our Felony Reentry Jobs Program, which has been recognized nationally by the U.S. Conference of Mayors with the City Livability Award. And under the leadership of our city manager, our staff continues to expand our reentry employment readiness training program throughout other city departments so that trainees can develop a variety of certified skills. So in addition to our Public Works Department, Fleet Services, the Zoo, and Housing and Neighborhood Programs are all participating in this felony reentry program. And soon we're going to be going out to each one of our wards to hear from our citizens on where they want the next phase of the street and drainage improvements to be directed. I encourage all of our citizens to engage and to participate in these meetings so that we can identify those projects that are in most need. In the area of our parks, the great recreational activities that we provide for our citizens, we continue to improve on maintenance and upgrades of the neighborhood parks. We also opened up the first phase of our Natural Steps Sports Complex last year with soccer fields and lacrosse fields on Highway 300. And we continue to improve our Western Hills Park in Southwest Little Rock. This past year, the city teamed up with the Army Reserves to create the Western Hills Cross Country Meet, which was highly popular and a first for Little Rock. And the city partnered with the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance that is headed up by our city director, Kathy Webb, to create a half-acre urban vegetable garden which produced over 9,000 pounds of fresh produce in the fall to be given directly to low-income families. Which is a tremendous, tremendous gift, and I'm so happy that we have someone on the city board now that has a focus on the issues of those who are in most need for good fresh produce and vegetables. We also will be building restrooms. For those of you on the River Trail, we're going to be building restrooms this year at the Big Dam Bridge. And, of course, I'm going to continue to, with my efforts in earnest, to close the loop on the River Trail, something I know many, many of you are patiently and now impatiently waiting for. I want to give out a shout-out to our marathon team, who, as always, has done a fantastic job in putting on a first-class event with over 10,000 runners each March. And regardless of the weather, it's a great, great tourism and economic benefit to our city. Our marathon, as well as our River Lights on the Bridges, recently won a Cities of Distinction Award sponsored by Arkansas Business and First Security Bank. on the economic development front, and speaking of the economy, our partnership with the on economic development with the Regional Chamber of Commerce and with the Arkansas Economic Development Commission witnessed the creation this past year of 820 new jobs in our city. Since the inception of this partnership, over 5,800 jobs have been generated, and it has created a new annual payroll of $216 million and over $1 billion worth of capital investment. This represents, as you can tell, an incredible impact on our mission to invest in human capital and to create and retain and grow new jobs. To continue, however, we need to redouble our efforts to train our workforce. I want to talk about the issues of unemployment and underemployment for a moment. In addition to the city's felony reentry program, I am particularly proud of our partners in this endeavor, and the city and you citizens have committed additional funding for us to do this. This past year, our house enrolled 73 participants and placed 36 individuals in employment, felons that are out and needing jobs to try and contribute and give back to our city. Goodwill Industries enrolled 177 participants and placed 106 people in employment. And additionally, our Evening Career Center program sponsored 25 participants who were enrolled in a variety of certification programs, such as welding, nursing assistance, CAD design, and the like. This is obviously proof of success that if we give people a second chance, we've got an opportunity to give them a new life. I want to encourage our business community to ban the box on employment applications. And I am confident that if we can work together on this, it'll be good for the city. And we must be vigilant in investing in our people with more skills training, programs, and certifications. We need to reach out and recruit our unemployed and underemployed citizens in non-traditional ways with lifelong learning initiatives, with cradle-to-career opportunities. The business community must do its part if we are going to ensure that the companies of tomorrow have the workforce that is trained, talented, and ready. These 21st century type jobs are clearly defined by some of the economic successes and developments that we've seen this past year. Entergy's new $23 million Transmission Operations Center, MISO, an energy grid management company operating in 15 states, broke ground on a new operations center. Federal Express opened up a new $52 million ground transportation location in a 300,000-square-foot building in southwest Little Rock, creating hundreds and hundreds of jobs. Porcel Industries, a petrochemical company, also expanded this past year, and it has opened up its doors to the local middle and high school students, trying to expose them to these type of 21st-century jobs. Dassault Falcon Jet broke ground on a quarter of a million dollar square foot expansion to accommodate the fabrication and completion of the most sophisticated and expensive jets in the world. And all of this proves that as a community, we have to reach out to our citizens, both young and old, to provide training to perform the skills that a company like Baudet Aviation, which is a supplier of Dassault Falcon Jet, needs to be a success. Their new facilities, which opened up this past year in the fall, created 75 new jobs. This past year also saw the hiring of a new executive director for the Little Rock Technology Park in downtown Little Rock and the establishment of the Arkansas Venture Center. The Tech Park and the center both promised to be an extraordinarily valuable resource for Little Rock to grow its own businesses and job opportunities in the exploding area of bio and life sciences and technologies that emanate out of our universities, UAMS and UALR, and from our data-driven technology businesses, which will create the next Axiom, the next Merkle, or the next FIS, which are all located in our city. Young entrepreneurs are today learning at the Arkansas Venture Center and are receiving mentoring from entrepreneurial leaders here in our city. The AVC is holding classes, hackathons, computer coding, and pitch sessions on a daily basis. Who knows when the next Google, Instagram, or medical miracle will be spawned from these activities. I am confident it's going to happen. I'm confident it's going to happen. Our Port Authority opened up with the new Arkansas River Resources Center building this past year, and Brian Day, who is here with us today, is at the helm, our former city manager, and he has embarked on an exciting economic development master plan for the port. I am proud to be able to assist in this endeavor as the vice chair of the U.S. Conference of Mayors Metropolitan Ports and Exports Task Force, which recognizes something that's often overlooked, and that is the tremendous economic impact of the nation's inland waterways, of which, of course, the Arkansas River is a part of. We were honored this past year to host a national conference here in Little Rock, highlighting the significance of our inland ports and their contribution to the economic development of the country. The heart of a city, as you know, has to be healthy. It is critically important, not just for the downtown part of the city, but for the entire city. And it's hard for the rest of the city to be healthy if the heart of the city is unhealthy. So I want to tell you I'm very happy to see the continued renaissance and redevelopment of Main Street and the Creative Corridor. Main Street is truly back, and that is a good sign for our city. This past year, we've seen several new announcements of businesses planning to open up on Main Street. Restaurants, advertising firms, video production companies, new buildings are being built on Main Street, and the concentration of our major art organizations are also along this corridor, as well as art galleries, and they'll soon be open. Our water quality construction project with its streetscape improvements is in the middle phase of development, which we anticipate will be completed in early summer. When finished, it will create a beautiful and walkable downtown, alive with people both young and old enjoying the placemaking improvements located up and down the corridor of Main Street. This spring, ESEM school students and Montessori school students on Main Street will use the corridor to learn about water quality and energy conservation systems that make for a better city and for a better planet. By midsummer, there will be over 256 apartments located on Main Street. The Main Street Creative Corridor continues to receive national recognition from various sources around the country. This past year, the chairman of the National Endowment of the Arts, Jane Chu, paid us a visit to see how we were doing and using our town grant that we received from them. She was quite impressed, and you should know that she is using Little Rock as a stellar example of success when speaking to national audiences about the importance of their Our Town grant program. The Creative Corridor has also been featured in two national seminars and an EPA webinar attended by over 1,200 people nationwide. The plan has received 9 various state, national, and international design awards. Most recently, the designers of the Creative Corridor, Steve Luoni with the University of Arkansas Community Design Center, and Marlon Blackwell, architect, have been recognized with 2 prestigious national awards from the American Institute of Architects and the American Society of Landscape Architects. The Creative Corridor design has also been featured in various architectural magazines and periodicals throughout the country. Additionally, this past year, our grants department, headed up by Karen Curry, sought and received 2 new privately funded grants for over $500,000 for creative placemaking and LED lighting in the corridor. These funds are being used to create murals, art banners, and creative LED signage designed to brand the art components of the corridor. Soon it will have its own Facebook page and its own blog, and the Creative Corridor is going to be lit up with energy-efficient lighting, a version of Times Square, if you will. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun when we go down there to engage with all the arts organizations. But what's important about this is that the public investment, which is about $1.9 million, comprised mostly of federal grants and private grants, has generated over $76 million in private sector investment to date. And it has spawned the expansion of new uses in largely vacant buildings along Capitol Avenue. What a return on investment this is. When we talk about an ROI, $76 million with the public money and other public, the federal government's money to do that. I mention this, and I want to mention that we have engaged with the arts in a great way. I know that our folks with the Advertising and Promotion Commission are here as well, and certainly my colleague Gene Fortune and I have an opportunity to work very hard on this, and Gene worked very, very hard as it relates to the millage issue, the redo of our sales tax, our hotel tax, for the $68 million Robinson renovation. And I want to announce to you that it's well underway. There haven't been any major hiccups. It's on time and it's on budget. And let's hope it stays that way. I want to thank our River Market Sculpture Committee and specifically Director Dean Campiris for the purchase of the beautiful sculpture entitled Peace, which if you haven't seen it, is right there on Main Street in front of the parking deck on 2nd and Main. The River Market Sculpture Committee decided to place it on Main Street to further promote public art throughout our city. Dr. Campiris continues to use his persuasive skills to partner with patrons of our city to improve the River Market in the area of Riverfront Park. But I want to mention that I've had conversations with our Art Center about trying to bring public art to all of the wards of our city. And we have actually, I've spent hours driving the wards looking at where public art could go in each one of our 7 wards. So I'm hopeful that if we can find some foundation money to do that, we can get some more of that underway. Speaking of the Art Center, as has been mentioned recently, the Art Center Foundation has begun a public discussion of how to best preserve and showcase the wonderful and priceless collection of art that has been amassed over the last 55 to 60 years since Governor Winthrop Rockefeller led the effort to bring arts and culture in a major way to the state of Arkansas with the construction of the Arkansas Arts Center in its current location in historic MacArthur Park. The Art Center and its collection is a treasure for the state and the city. And with no offense to my friends in North Little Rock, and I do call them my friends, I believe the Art Center should stay in the capital city. I do not believe it is good policy to trade existing assets of either city back and forth, but rather we should work together to build or expand on new assets that complement rather than compete with each other. The reality is that the existing facility needs more museum school space, an expanded library, more seating capacity for the children's theater, a larger restaurant, and more vault storage for the space, more vault storage space for the priceless collection. As we proceed to explore our options, I want to ask all of you, the public, and my colleagues to weigh in with your opinions. I know we will. We have a real treasure here in the Arkansas Arts Center, and I believe we should keep it here in the city and improve it for the value that it provides to all of our citizens. Let me talk a minute about partnership and neighborhood revitalization. A healthy city cannot do it on its own with our city staff and our board members and colleagues. We have to depend on other parties as well. We depend on you as citizens, and we depend on wonderful, wonderful organizations such as the one I want to focus on for a minute, which is AmeriCorps. In calendar year 2014, 4 AmeriCorps National Civilian Community Corps teams came to Little Rock and helped the city directly and contributed over $312,000 in direct services to the city of Little Rock through our Love Your School initiative I'm going to talk about in a minute. But I've been talking with Director Adcock and others about the importance of what we can do to renovate existing parts of our city for people who are of low income means, retired oftentimes on fixed incomes, and have been in their homes for a long time and are desperately looking for funding to try and repair and renovate their homes. So I'm excited to announce that we've embarked on a planning process that is occurring with AmeriCorps so that we can get more Corps members here to provide for the manpower to provide no-cost renovations and repairs to homes of low-income families in need. The plan is for 3 teams to be deployed in 3 stages of between 8 and 11 weeks throughout a 12-month period, and the repairs will include such things as the replacement of windows, doors, exterior siding, sheetrock, and other modest interior home repairs and needed improvements, including weatherization. This is for all parts of the city where it's needed. We have the grant match funds necessary for this to occur, which we will use to allow us to renovate an existing facility, the former Eastgate Senior Citizen Center, that Bruce tells me is available, which will be into a 20-person youth hostel that can accommodate up to 2 10-person teams. And it's my hope that we can have that renovation done by early October and get this started, hopefully by the end of the year or the first part of next year. But I've got a community challenge, and I'm laying this out for everyone to listen to and hear. These young people need an experienced supervisor or foreman to guide them in their efforts. So I hope that the Home Builders Association, the Association of General Contractors, or anyone who hears this will be able to step forward and provide some volunteer experienced service to help guide these young people in how to best do this job. They're eager, able, strong backs, and I know that with the right guidance, we can accomplish great things for those people who are in need most. I mentioned Love Your School. You know, when people typically think about the programs that cities have, I don't think they always think about some of the things that we've been doing. Neighborhood gardens, community gardens, vegetable gardens in our parks. You know, we started a few years ago on a program through a grant with the chief service officer to try and figure out how we use volunteers to move the needle. And we've embraced many of our volunteers in terms of what we can do to help improve our schools from a city perspective. And we know that that's needed. One of the areas has to do with what we call our Love Your School Childhood Obesity Initiative. And AmeriCorps members from the Denver office continue to be assigned to this award-winning program that the city has, the Love Your School Childhood Obesity Program, which is located in 7 of our high-poverty elementary schools. And it is really making a huge difference in the lives of almost 3,000 students and their families on a daily basis. Those AmeriCorps members are critical to the operation of it, and I have to say that sometimes we're very critical of what the federal government does or doesn't do for us or to us. This is a good program, and you need to let your congressman know that it is a good program that does not need to be cut. Speaking of schools, I'd like to take a moment to reflect on one of the most important issues facing our city, the Little Rock School District. While Arkansas cities do not have direct oversight over schools, we recognize that schools in our city are critically important and the driving force that will determine the future workforce and direction of our economy. That's why it's so important that the controversy that has surrounded the state takeover of the school district absolutely lead and ultimately lead to better outcomes for our students. While the issue has been conflicted at times and acrimonious, we should not lose track of the objective that we all have in common, and that's better schools for our community, better educated students, and a return to local control. With the decision to take over the school district having been made and with litigation being filed, I hope we will all focus on what is best for our children. They must be the ultimate winners of this conflict. I encourage everyone involved to work as quickly as possible to achieve a successful outcome. The prolonged conflict in the Little Rock School District has worked to our detriment, and I believe continues to be a substantial impediment to our economic prosperity and to securing the best and good jobs for our people. I hope we can all rally around this common objective of improving our schools so that all of our students can reach their highest potential. Nothing less than the future of our community depends on it. I know this commitment will be in the hearts and minds of both City Director B.J. Wyrick and City Director Kathy Webb, both who have been selected to serve on the Citizens Committee to give advice and counsel as this process moves forward. And I appreciate their willingness and dedication to volunteer their time toward this effort and to keep us informed on how the process is going. On other fronts, Jericho Way, our Homeless Day Resource Center, opened to help those of us most in need this past year. 120 individuals access services and meals on a daily basis, and we have a new service provider, DePaul USA, and they are very excited to be in Little Rock, and I am confident that with their direction and past experience, we're going to be able to add education, workforce training, and transitional housing to the services that we currently provide. This past year, the city also led the way on sustainability with the passage and implementation of recycling in 83% of all of our apartment complexes and multifamily housing. It's been a great success. The bottom line is it didn't cost the word is from all of the people that own these and manage these apartments that it didn't cost any more money for them to operate their apartments from an operational standpoint. And it's helping the neighbors there do what's good for the city and good for the planet. I want to spend a few minutes talking about public safety. Over the past year, we've seen a lot of new city departments and commission leadership changes. With the hiring of a new CEO at Little Rock Wastewater, a new assistant city manager, James Jones, a new port director, Brian Day, a new Human Resources Director, Stacy Witherall, a new Community Programs Director, Dana Dossett, a new Police Chief, Kenton Buckner. So you can imagine, our City Manager, Bruce Moore, has been very busy with the hiring process. And I would like to focus for a minute on the last two of these hires that I mentioned. Dana Dossett, our Community Programs Director, and her staff over the past year have begun the implementation of several new programs that are designed to assist our youth at all levels. They have put together an inventory of all of the social services available in our community as a dashboard of services available to be accessed by citizens in need of help that is going to be located on our website and on a mobile app that's categorized by topic, such as healthcare services, employment services, faith-based programs, athletic programs, reading programs, and the like. They have also initiated a management information system for our prevention and intervention contract providers and are conducting biweekly conference calls to review contract compliance and training needs. Now, it has been said that in God we trust, but all others must bring data. And therein lies the challenge. So consequently, as part of our juvenile crime prevention activities, we have been working with the police department to analyze the crime statistics committed by our young people. We know that early intervention measures and effective truancy programs can make a huge difference in a young person's life. Now, the data tells us in 2010, we had 978 juveniles committing over 1,600 crimes. These numbers spiked to a high of 1,227 juveniles committing 2,636 crimes in 2011, a spiked increase. Since then, the numbers have remained similar, which is why the city competed for and was selected by the National League of Cities as one of five cities to be a part of a Juvenile Justice Reform Technical Assistance Initiative. And we were joined there by Philadelphia, New Orleans, Minneapolis, and Gresham, Oregon. A team from the city, as well as myself, spent 2.5 days with experts in the field from around the country to try and dig deep and figure out what's going on with our juvenile, with our young people and juvenile crime. The data tells us that this juvenile spike in crime is also comparable to the increase in school district incidents involving our Little Rock Police Department and our school resource officers. Many of these incidents have ended up in juvenile court when we believe that other more appropriate diversions and immediate alternatives may be available. It also suggests that there needs to be broader training of our school resource officers with various crisis intervention and youth development training programs that may provide better options than what has increasingly become a traditional law enforcement policing function by our SOR officers in our schools. The data also shows us something else. It shows us that as a subset of all the crimes committed, the more serious Part 1 juvenile crimes that were committed occurred during the school day from 4 p.m. to midnight. 35% of the Part 1 serious crimes committed by juveniles were committed during the school day, 53% from 4 o'clock to midnight. All of this is to say that we need to seek out new programs and best practices that can intervene and break these cycles. We need to focus on the issue of truancy. We need to find out why these kids are committing these kinds of serious crimes during the school day. They obviously are not doing it in the school. These are different than the incidents that I talked about that are happening in the schools. And because our Community Programs Department is going to be working with all of our board members to expand on a juvenile crime prevention coalition made up of citizens, people that care about children, people that want to, from diversion programs, all of the programs that we have to try and figure out how we can make sure, including mentoring programs, which are critically important, so that all our young people never get into the system to begin with. On another front, the number of violent crimes and property crimes reported in 2014 was the lowest in over 20 years, reported at 16,494, compared to over 27,000 that were reported in 1993. Now, the increased use of social media makes us all aware of virtually every crime that occurs in all parts of the city. So regardless of that, that even though it's the lowest in 25 years, it's still too many. And we still need to do everything we can to try and get that number down even further. But we are going in the right direction. We're going down in many areas. The number reported is a 5% decrease from the previous year. Violent offenses are down 5.5%. Property crimes are down 5%. More importantly, we saw a 27% decrease in robbery offenses and a 15% reduction in burglary offenses. These theft theft offenses, you should know, which is basically people taking other people's property, made up the bulk of all the Part 1 offenses, over 10,000, with half of those being misdemeanor cases. So when people start looking at numbers, you have to realize that there's a substantial number of these that go into that Part 1 reporting system that are misdemeanor theft cases. Now, the recently formed Capital City Crime Prevention Task Force is made up of members who work in the system, and they are charged with looking at ways to reduce the number of crimes that are committed in our city. And it's my hope that by bringing these various players to the table from all levels of government and all the branches of government, that new strategies will be developed to make our city safer. This past year, Chief Buckner and myself hosted a national community-oriented policing conference that was attended by nearly 100 mayors and police chiefs from around the country discussing the importance of community-oriented policing and its importance in light of the police-citizen conflicts in Ferguson, Staten Island, and most recently in Madison, Wisconsin. As part of the conference, President Bill Clinton, who signed into law the COPS legislation 20 years ago, joined us, as well as the Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder, and several other Department of Justice officials. As a result of this conference, Chief Buckner and myself were asked to be a part of a select Mayor's Police Chief Working Group to develop best practices for cities and police departments throughout the country on how to build trust and improve the interactions between police departments and communities. That report was recently released, and the chief and I are happy to make the report available to any of you who would like to see it. I want to commend Chief Buckner for his honesty and candor in discussing the many issues involved with the issue of community relationships and the police. Based on Chief Buckner's recommendations, the city is purchasing hundreds of additional tasers so that every patrol officer is equipped with one additional tool that will minimize the use of deadly force and minimize injuries to both citizens and police officers. Additionally, Chief Buckner is re-energizing the neighborhood coordinator functions of the department with expanded interactions with our neighborhood associations in providing best practices in neighborhoods with increased communication with citizens through the increased use of social media. Chief Summers is with us today, our fire department chief, and I want you to know that they have been kept very, very busy this past year responding to over 276 fires, 56 of which is 20%, that were determined to be arson. And our fire department was able to clear 43% of these, which is well, well above the national average of 20%. And being prepared with proper equipment is critical to their job, and it's critical to the safety of both the citizens and the firefighters who come to our rescue. And again, thanks to a vote of the people, we were able to purchase $3.5 million worth of apparatus equipment and upgrades this past year, and we continue with the design work that goes on for the new fire station that we'll be building in the future in Southwest Little Rock. As we look to the future, continuing to execute on the commitments we made to our citizens during the sales tax campaign is absolutely inviolate. And I am confident we will continue to do exactly that. We will continue to work on economic development and expanding job opportunities for our citizens. I'm looking forward to the opening of the outlet shops in Southwest Little Rock next to Bass Pro. I'm hopeful it'll increase our city revenues. And most importantly, I hope it'll create hundreds of new jobs for our citizens. With the rebranding of our neighborhood alert centers as neighborhood resource centers, I anticipate that City Hall will become closer to the people with an increased opportunity to refer our citizens to the many organizations and nonprofits which are available to give assistance. My hope is to see increased neighborhood revitalization, and I am hopeful that many neighborhood plans will be developed like the one that is being discussed for the Wright Avenue Neighborhood Association. I know that Director Irma Hendricks is keenly interested, as is Director Ken Richardson, in neighbor and neighborhood redevelopment. And it should be mentioned that Director Adcock is meeting weekly with the Latino community in Southwest Little Rock, along with churches and Latino charter schools, on a project entitled Working Together in the Community. And that is our challenge. We need to all work together in the community. Director Brad Kazort continues to advocate for our wonderful Little Rock Zoo, and Vice Mayor Hines continues with yeoman service as the chair of the Commission on Children, Youth, and Families, and as a liaison to our Sanitary Sewer Committee. Director Gene Fortson, as liaison to the airport, is keenly aware of the need for greater air service as we witness a decreased employments at our airport. And all of us will be focused on our actual revenue collections as compared to our revenue projections this year. To my fellow colleagues on the City Board, based on our previous discussions that we've had earlier about the budget, I am proposing that we will begin our budget discussions in early September with a budget retreat where detailed budgets and department staffs will be present to answer questions that you may have about various functions and line items and line item details. Of course, the information will be provided to you in advance so that you can prepare those questions. And you may remember, one other thing I want to mention to the board and to our citizens. I just recently was made aware of a letter from the United States Department of the Interior to our county judge concerning the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Quapaw Tribe of Oklahoma, who's acquired 160 acres adjacent to our port, and what the purpose of that might be. I know there's much speculation about that. We have 30 days to give opinions and advice, and so I just got a copy of this, and I'll make it available to my colleagues so that we can discuss this and form an opinion of what we think about it. I, you know, as much as it might be an occasional fun thing to do in another city, I have questions about whether or not that's the most appropriate place or use of our property here in the city of Little Rock. The Port Authority has been a tremendous economic resource for us. This property is immediately adjacent to the Wellspun property, and I think it could have great impact one way or the other on our city. And so I'll make this available to you, and we will be discussing it, obviously, in the next few days and weeks so that we can have a response to the Department of Interior about this matter. I've mentioned many, many things to you today. As I said, when you start to write this, these things just continue to come up, and I usually have papers strewn all over my office, so don't go there right away. Take a look at it. But you may remember that a few years ago in my State of the City address, I noted that Little Rock had been recognized as one of the happiest cities in the United States. Well, today, we've done it. Today, which is World Monopoly Day, Parker Brothers has announced that Arkansas's capital city, Little Rock, has won a coveted property spot on the new Monopoly Here and Now game board. Little Rock is one of only 22 cities that has been selected for its 80th anniversary edition. The game was originally released in 1935, and it will be on sale this fall. I hope we all go out and get one so that our children, my kids, and my grandchildren will be able to use the 80th anniversary Monopoly edition. This is a good sign. This is a good sign. For together, I know that we can continue to be the great next American city in the South with all of your help. Thank you for being with me today. I appreciate the opportunity to share these thoughts with you.
We have an invitation, yes.
And the reception.
Where is he? If you please be seated. Pastor Philip Pointer. Pastor Philip Pointer, are you present?
He's here.
Oh, would you come forward, please, and give us our closing prayer?
Would you bow with me in a moment of prayer? Gracious and eternal God, how we thank you for this day and for the privilege that we have had to hear, come together and gather to hear from our mayor regarding state of our city. We thank you for the accomplishments of this past year. We thank you for the lives that have been helped and the citizens whose circumstances have been improved. But we know there is still much work to be done. And so we pray that as a community and as a city, you would strengthen our hands for the work of making our city a place of justice, prosperity, and opportunity for all who live here. Help us to be a shining light in a dark world. And most of all, help us to reflect your glory as a community. This is our prayer. In the strong name of your Son. Amen.
Let's all give the mayor another hand, and we should all be thankful. We should all be thankful, Mayor, that it took you that long to tell us all the wonderful things that has happened. Because it would be so sad for a mayor to get up here and have one or two things to tell us and let us go after 5 or 10 minutes. We will have a reception. We ask all of you to please stay for it. And please take time to greet each other and to visit a few moments. Because it's said, you know how good a meeting is by how long the people stay. Thank you for coming.